Hello and welcome to another episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives. My name is Diana Isaacs. I am joined with my co-host, Natalie Bellini, and we have a very exciting episode where we are interviewing the Chief Medical Officer at Medtronic Diabetes, Dr. Bob Vigersky. So welcome, Dr. Vigersky.
Well, first of all, thanks so much for asking me to do this. It's always a pleasure. For those who are listening to this, we often intersect at various congresses and scientific meetings, but this is really very special. So I'm the Chief Medical Officer for Medtronic Diabetes. I've been at Medtronic 10 years, almost 10 and a half years now. And in that time, a lot of things have happened. And I think most of what we're going to discuss today is about the, you know, new announcements that we've put out in the last, actually less than a month, and some exciting developments. As far as my background goes, I spent 27 years on active duty in the United States Army, all stationed at Walter Reed. So I founded and ran a diabetes institute, and we did research mostly with devices, and that made it natural for me once I retired from the Army to come to Medtronic. And we did clinical care. I had seven nurse practitioners who helped me take care of thousands of people, and then we also I did a lot of teaching to the endocrine fellows, the residents, and the rest of the endocrine staff. So that's just a little bit about me. Oh, and I still see patients, which I think is so important because it keeps me grounded. And I go back to Walter Reed as a Red Cross volunteer when I'm not traveling. So it's not as often as I really would like, but a few times a month, I'm seeing patients, some new ones, some those that I've been seeing for years, and also teaching and mentoring. So a little bit about me, but let's get to the meat of it.
Awesome. Well, we love that about you, that you have all this real world experience. You're still seeing patients. So what we'd love to hear from you is, what is new in Medtronic Diabetes that you are excited to share with all of us?
Yeah. So if we had 2 hours, I probably could fill it, but let me try and summarize it. I think the first thing that everybody is very excited about is we are now actually you're going to be able to order our newest sensor, and it's called the Instinct sensor. And this is a sensor that's supplied to Medtronic by Abbott. And it's a 15-day sensor, very small, and it's in fact, if you stack two pennies, that's about the size of it, and so that sensor is going to be starting to ship sometime in the next couple of months, but people can order it now. But we also have another new sensor, which is Simplera. This was and Simplera Sync, and I'll tell you the difference in just a second. But that was approved a few months ago by the FDA. Simplera Sync is a 7-day sensor, fully disposable, as opposed to our previous sensors, which had transmitters that were really durable. Medical equipment lasted a year, but the Simplera is disposable after 7 days, up to 7 days. And there's two versions of it: Simplera Sync, that will go with the 780G. And the Simplera standalone, which will be paired with our InPen, smart insulin pen offering. So that's on the sensor side. And I think it's important for people listening to know that we will still have Guardian 4. And as far as the ability to use the now three sensors, so Guardian 4, Simplera Sync, and Instinct, these will all be able to be used with the 780G automated insulin delivery system. And you won't be tied down to just having one, and that's what you're going to be so-called stuck with. You'll be able to try them all, go back and forth on a, you know, perhaps 3-month basis, depending on how long your supplies are shipped for. And so there'll be some people we know who want a 7-day sensor because it's easy to remember to switch your infusion set, which is our extended infusion set lasting up to 7 days. So with the Simplera Sync, you can switch those out at the same time. And I know there are people who like that that convenience of remembering just to do everything on one day. But there'll be people who want the Instinct, which is 15 days. And I'm sure there'll be people who still are going to stick to the Guardian 4 for a while. But my guess is the two newest sensors, the Simplera Sync and the Instinct, will be the ones that people will gravitate to. The Simplera is actually available for ordering now. So, and we're shipping them now. So, so within the next few months, all three will be available. The other thing that's very exciting is that in Europe, remember Medtronic, MiniMed is a global company, and we just got approval for an expanded indication in Europe for inclusion with 780 down to age 2. Children age 2 and older are now available, and for pregnant women with type 1 diabetes and also for type 2 diabetes. So these are that's a lot of the developments just happening in the last 2 months or so. And then the final thing is, and I know people listening to this may be interested, is that Medtronic is separating the diabetes business, and we will become Medtronic. What was Medtronic Diabetes will become MiniMed. For those of you who are old enough, remember that Medtronic bought MiniMed about 25 years ago. So we're going to revert back to the name of our roots, and that represents really exciting, an exciting opportunity for MiniMed, because now we will be a standalone company and we will be able to be very agile and we'll be able to really even have greater focus on our patients and providers and all the other stakeholders that that are important in the diabetes ecosystem. So this is really a lot, and that that separation is going to occur early next spring. We don't have an exact date for that.
That is a lot. Holy wow. Where do we even start? So I'm very excited. I would like to comment on the idea that even the turnaround for the Instinct has happened very, very quickly. You guys said, this is where we are and we're going to make this happen. And I thought, okay, maybe spring of 2026. And now you're here on our podcast saying, no, Natalie, now you can go in. I tried it today, by the way, everyone, and go in and order. You know, it's not going to ship today, but you can go and get in line to order it now. And I'm very impressed with that. And it is demonstrating that dedication to, we want to be more agile.
Yeah. I mean, this is, I think this was really a huge accomplishment. And you know, kudos to many teams that worked on this. We assigned a deal with Abbott literally 13 months ago, and a lot of engineering had to go into making sure that the new sensor, the Instinct sensor, would be compatible with the pump, and the engineers came through with new software and to make it able to be compatible with all three sensors. And then there's the regulatory pathways that I think we really were fortunate in that our pump was approved as an IAGC, and we have now a interoperable CGM in the Abbott sensor, and so all these kind of aligned so that we were able to get this actually approved by the FDA, and we were ready to go to start taking orders this week. So I think it may have set a record. I don't know, in going from inception to final approval and shipping out the door. But it is, to your point, we frankly, when we started this journey for Instinct, we were expecting sometime in the middle of next year.
So this is so awesome. I agree. I have a logistical question. If you're able to answer. So Simplera and Instinct, I know they don't require calibrations, but are you able to calibrate them, and can you calibrate both? Because we know normally Libre, you're not able to calibrate.
Right. So yes, you're exactly right. So you won't be able to calibrate the Instinct sensor, which is made and supplied by Abbott. But you will be able to calibrate, you will be able to enter a sensor, a finger stick entry into the Simplera Sync sensor, and it will be taken as a calibration. So they are different in that respect. And that was just the characteristic of the Libre sensor. The just to, you know, put a fine point on it, these sensors are all very accurate. And I think we've proven that with Simplera, because the sensor characteristics and SensorFlex is really the same as with our Guardian 4. So we know how well people do using the Guardian 4, which doesn't require calibration, using the 780G system. And we know that the basis for the Abbott sensor has been used in other systems, and we know it works quite well. So I think we have that confidence that we're going to have great outcomes with both sensors. And by the way, just one more thing, just for those who are wondering, Medtronic is this new sensor Instinct is a Medtronic sensor, and it will be ordered through Medtronic. So now all the ordering for supplies, in addition to the pump, of course, will be done through Medtronic for whichever of the sensors that you want.
That makes sense. I mean, it seems like for ease of ordering, that kind of is the simplest way to do it. Yep. So you said something really interesting. It's very exciting about all those approvals in Europe regarding pregnancy and type 2 diabetes. What about the U.S.? I've heard type 2 diabetes now is cleared for use in the U.S. as well. And I'm wondering if you can share some of the data behind how we got this approval.
Yeah. So we, of course, did a pivotal trial in the U.S. for the approval of the expansion to type 2. The results were really outstanding. And so it was a 3-month prospective, but not randomized trial. And it showed that if you use the recommended settings in particular, you got almost 80% time in range. And the time in tight range is just over 50%. What we also found is that the sustainability of those results, actually, now we have data that shows it extends out over a period of 12 months. So it's not just the shiny new object that people with type 2 or, by the way, the vast majority, almost 65% of them, had not been on a pump before. And so they were really pump and automated insulin delivery naive. And they took to it like a duck to water. And so we got great outcomes that then over the 3 months of the trial, and then by following people out for the rest of the year, we saw that these results were sustained.
Wow. I mean, I think that really does say a lot, that 12 months, you can do almost anything for 90 days, right?
Right.
And then
yeah.
The shine kind of wears off. We see this in other clinical areas. The idea that it continued is a note to the dedication of that algorithm to really continually become smarter and really answer to that person's needs. I do have a question about how did they enter carbohydrates? Because I know a lot of us who work with people with type 2 diabetes, do you have any knowledge on, were they fixed dosing? Were they some of both? Were they putting in actual grams? And what happens when you miss a meal or miss a dose or don't bolus because you don't want to take it out or any of those kinds of things? Can we talk about bolusing a little?
Yeah. So we actually have not analyzed the data on the missed bolusing in people with type 2 diabetes. We've done that with type 1, mm-hmm. but not with type 2. So that's something that we're going to look at, and I think it's important that we will to better understand how well it does mitigate missed bolusing and whether or not they're using simplified meal management, using small, medium, large meals, or they're actually carb counting. We'll be able to provide that data hopefully sometime in the next 6 months or so. What we know from our studies in type 1 is that missed bolusing is, we have what we call meal detection technology that's part of the algorithm, and that mitigates the missed bolusing because every 5 minutes it's detected a meal and it's giving, and because if you miss a meal, the sensor glucose has a signature, if you will, of how it rises, and the algorithm recognizes that and starts to give boluses to mitigate that rise. And so I think we are likely to see the same thing in people with type 2 diabetes, but we don't have that data yet. I would also say, just to follow up with another study there, the team in Europe published a study looking at the real-world data and in people with type 2 diabetes. So now these are self-identified type 2s, and they looked at people who were self-identified and were taking over 100 units or more of insulin a day. So it's pretty likely that they have type 2. Because this is real-world data, we don't have, you know, C-peptides, and we don't have antibody levels on them. But in that group, in about 10,000 people, there were results that really were confirmatory of what we saw in the pivotal trial. So people are getting great outcomes, extending to thousands of people, as opposed to the small number that we usually do in our clinical trials.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, it's really is. Yeah, it's very, very exciting. So I know you mentioned, you know, one of the things that's next for Medtronic is the split mini med. What else? And we're curious what else you can share. What else is in the pipeline? What else are you excited about?
Yeah, well, first of all, the split is something that's going to allow us to accelerate our pipeline. But I will just give it at a high level some of the things that are coming. We have a new pump that's coming that is going to be a screenless pump and about half the size of the current pump. And it will be dosed from an app on a smartphone. So that's one hardware new that's coming. And then we have a patch pump that's coming as well. I can't give you timelines on those, but we're working diligently to get those finalized and approved and out the door. So that's a little bit on the hardware side. On the algorithm side, we're working on our next generation of algorithm, which I think will accomplish a lot of what we all hope for our patients who have type 1 and type 2 diabetes, and that is to reduce the burden. And in this case, to reduce the burden of meal management. So we're, again, diligently working on that, and the future is very bright. That's about as much as I can say about it. But I think you both know that we have brilliant algorithm engineers who I'm in total awe of, and who are able to use a tool that really has been so helpful in the past and into the future, and that's a virtual patient model. So they can actually tweak algorithms and test what happens with those changes in a in silico type of environment, and they can iterate multiple times before we actually go into putting into patients. So that is a tremendous tool that I think provides us the ability to go fast with the next generation of algorithms.
Awesome. I'm going to ask a follow-up question. You might not be able to answer it, but I'm curious, this new patch pump and then the screenless pump, are you able to say, will that also be a 300 unit reservoir, or is it going to be a different amount?
Always pushing it, Diana. Always going above where you should. Right. I love it, though. I'm curious as well. I mean, that's really one of the biggest challenges is we need a little bit more insulin in a patch pump, right? As you know.
Correct. So that's the plan, is a 300 unit reservoir.
Right. Awesome. That would be amazing, because for someone with type 2 diabetes that struggles with that priming, right? They can't see the insulin for the air. It's hard to see. Those people are the people taking 100 units a day. So yeah. To give them a 200 unit patch really pulls back from the goal of giving them a full 3 days of, you know, we want to reduce the burden of all of it too, right? So I love the idea, at least the goal of having 300 units.
Yeah. And the other thing is, and this relates to our extended infusion set, which has to be part and parcel of a patch that can last more than 3 days. So you have the same technology that we're using in our extended infusion set, which we've learned actually mitigates the decrease in time and range that you find on day one. So all infusion sets don't you see lower time and range on day one. So the fewer times you have to change the infusion set, the better overall time and range you'll have over the duration of the infusion set.
Awesome. Interesting. Yeah.
So I am curious, you know, there's a lot of different insulin pumps now. There's 5 different algorithms available. Who should healthcare providers be prescribing the MiniMed 780G system for? Like, what is the ideal patient?
Yeah, well, you know, the stock answer, if you talk to our sales force and our marketing team, is everybody, right? But I'm not a salesman or marketer, but I have seen the data. And what's been really remarkable to me is, and I use this term, democratization of insulin, of diabetes management. And there's data support that wherever you are in the world, whatever the culture is, whatever the foods that you eat are, and activities are, that people are getting about the same glycemic outcomes in terms of time in range and time below range. And so it doesn't matter if you're in India, where a colleague told me there are 50 kinds of rice with 50 different kinds of 50 mm-hmm. glycemic indices. It looks like in India, they're getting the same overall time in range that you do in Western Europe. And then we've looked at this by country, we've looked at this by region. And so I think it speaks to how this algorithm, which does give auto corrections every 5 minutes, can mitigate some of these differences across the world. And then there are other examples that have been published and we've seen about mitigating some of the things that happen that are beyond the control of the individual. So talk about the dawn phenomenon. The 780G can actually reduce the occurrence of the dawn phenomenon by 75% compared to a system. And this is in this case, our own system, 770, which didn't have auto corrections. You can get 75% fewer nights with the dawn phenomenon. Same thing with sleep and extension of uninterrupted sleep compared to 770. You can really get about 40 to 45 minutes longer sleep. And we know how important sleep is for everybody. Menstrual periods. One of the things that women who have menstrual periods and type 1 diabetes notice during the second half of their menstrual cycle, the luteal phase, they don't have as good glycemic control. And the reason behind that is because progesterone, which rises after ovulation, causes insulin resistance. And there's been a beautiful study showing that actually in open loop, before you turn on automation with 780, you get a decrement of about 5% in time in range. But in closed loop, meaning in with SmartGuard, which is the feature we call our automation, there's no decrement, and it's exactly the same as in the follicular phase and the luteal phase. So these are some of the things that we've seen. The other thing, and again, particularly in the pediatric population, kids do different things on when they're on vacation versus during the school year, and different things on the weekends versus the weekdays. And when I say different things, we're talking about activities and food. And a very interesting study from Italy shows that there's no difference in the time and range in children under 15 and younger between weekends and weekdays and between the school year and vacation. So all these things tell me as a you know, clinician scientist that these are the things in life that happen that that we know that this system can actually help the user stay on course and reduce the amount of variability in their control.
Wow. So this is all without having to interact with the system. I think that's the important part. It's not like you have to say, I'm entering my luteal phase. This is a weekend. I'm changing anything. This is let the system do its job. And it really does a great job doing its job.
Yeah. You said it extremely well, Natalie.
I love that. I really do. Because I think when you talk about that burden, you know, the burden of doing things, I want to eat, I want to have a little bit of a snack, I want to do this. I don't want to have to think about the 4 bites of chocolate chip cookie I had while I was standing in the kitchen. No other American thinks about that. No other person thinks about those 4 bites. But now I have to because I have diabetes. If the system can help mitigate those and I can just go and have a bite of something and not have to think about it because of missed meal technology, because of these other things, it all takes that burden down. All these little things add up in the end.
Yeah.
I love that. And that's when is it right for? Is it right for someone who needs less work? I don't want to think, is it a weekend? Am I going to have too much going on? Not enough going on? If it's addressing those kinds of things, it looks at who do we recommend this for?
Yeah. Exactly. And you know, every individual has their own needs and wants. And this system can accommodate almost all of them, right? Just in terms of meal management, the current system, I mean, it will work quite well. And this is, again, based on data that have been published. If you do a simplified meal management. So you just say, I'm having a small, medium, or large meal. And so those are the kinds of things that people who struggle with carb counting and even, you know, questions whether or not we really need to have people learn carb counting, at least in the beginning, maybe not. And I think we always want people to bolus for their meals, but the mitigation that algorithm has in terms of making up for the inaccuracies in what you put in is what in terms of how many grams of carbohydrate that you ate actually helps to smooth out the differences in what you actually ate versus what you think you ate. And so it's always better to, if you're a carb counter, to use, you know, as accurate number of carbs as possible. But I think we all know that people don't carb count very accurately. And when they miss it, they almost never, you never say never in medicine, right? But they almost never overestimate the number of carbs. It's always underestimating them. So again, this, the question that you posed, before about who's this good for, I mean, I think the data that's been published really support it's good for almost everyone.
Yeah, and I love that idea.
Yeah.
I've had great experience with it. I like that it has so much of this automation, but there's still a couple of things that we can manage. We can still adjust the carb ratios. Obviously, we want the lowest target, but there's still some things if we need to touch, we can. But it does such a great job of, you know, automatically handling everything else. And I think with these new sensors, it's really going to improve ease of use. So my final question is just kind of related to how people access this. So I know historically pumps usually go through durable medical equipment, DME. Is that kind of the continued plan for this? Are you guys trying to get into more pharmacies with the sensors? I'm just kind of curious how people go about accessing.
Yeah. So the answer is this is a period of transition for the supplies and going through pharmacy. So there are, depending on your plan and you know our contracts with that plan, you may be able to get it through a pharmacy. I'd still say that the majority of them are through DME, the medical pathway. The pump is a piece of durable medical equipment currently, so it would be through the DME pathway. But I think this is all changing, I think over the next few years, we're going to see this evolve to more pharmacy delivered. And that does have advantages for the person with diabetes because they can get it even if they're going to a clinic or a hospital where there is a pharmacy, they can get their supplies and their whatever they need. At the time of that visit, they don't have to wait for it to be delivered and or come back to someplace else.
Right. We definitely.
Ultimately, we want it there as prescribers because it's easier to do, right? Yeah. Look, for us, there's no form to a pharmacy. And so the final thought on that is about people with type 2 diabetes because they're not always covered, right? Under DME for Medicare, you can't have type 2. You got to do it through pharmacy. So in order to be in that channel and do it well, we're going to get an FDA change, right? We're going to, you know, the FDA has approved it, but that doesn't mean insurance companies like Medicare, which is an insurance company, is going to cover it. So going through pharmacy makes sense. You know, I love the idea and I love the convenience of someone going, I usually have them shipped, but today I'm going to go to my local pharmacy and get some, order them 2 days ahead because they're probably going to have to bring them in, but have it right away, right? Or sooner at least. I love the idea of having that flexibility and looking at it both ways. Is it cheaper through pharmacy? Is it cheaper through DME? How is this work best for me as a person with diabetes? It's going to open up new options for people.
Yeah, for sure. And just to, you know, be clear for, you know, other people who may be listening and how they might want to prescribe this. If it's not in the pharmacy, you can use Parachute Health if you have it. You can submit it directly to Medtronic through, you know, the old fashioned way, through fax, your CMN. And for supplies, Medtronic is actually a licensed pharmacy. So you can order your supplies directly through diabetes.shop. So as time progresses, there'll be a lot of options, which is, of course, what everybody wants. We want options.
Awesome. We've covered a lot of content today. Bob, any final thoughts related to anything we've talked about?
Well, I think the most important thing is, and I hope everybody appreciates this, is that Medtronic Diabetes, and by the way, that's what we still are, is Medtronic Diabetes until the separation in early next year. But Medtronic Diabetes and me and my team and I think everybody works for diabetes, we have one focus, and that's on the person with diabetes, whether it's type 1 or type 2. And we are driven to help them get the best possible glycemic control. We're driven to make sure that we can reduce the burden as much as is humanly possible. And we're driven to, because we know with all that, they're going to live longer and they're going to live more healthfully during the time that they have this condition. So that's really why we are passionate about getting these new products out there and into the hands of people who will use them. And we're very confident that this is going to be something that will continue to get better as time passes and continue to get better very quickly. And the cadence of how we're being able that we will do this is going to be accelerated. So thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about this, Diana and Natalie. It's really been a wonderful conversation.
Awesome. Yes, thank you so much for joining us. And we look forward to ATTD. We look forward to the Diabetes Technology Meeting in October, ATTD in March, ADA in June, because we know they're going to have more data on 780 with all these different systems in all these different countries.
Yeah, we will, for sure.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate having you. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in. That concludes this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives.